Find the Giants, part seven. Here's Jesus now. We're going to finish up Elijah tonight. This is Jesus, part seven. Matthew 28, Jesus after the Passion, right? Died on the cross, rose again. Fake news, right? They said, hey, he didn't really, people stole him. Jesus rose again. He walked around. He told his disciples, hey, this is what you, for 40 days, he gave instructions. He revealed himself. This is where the doubting Thomas part came in. This is when he saw the two on the road and revealed himself to them. This is what happened. So then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Why is there only 11 disciples? There was 12. Judas is no longer with us. Okay. When they saw him, they worshiped Christ, verse 17. And then Jesus came in verse 18 and said, now all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. This is nothing new. He's been saying this all along. Now it's becoming real to them. He's been saying it for the last 3.5 years. The Holy Spirit's going to come, John chapter 8, 9 and 11 and 12 and 14. The Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to be your guy, right? So now go thee therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what? Things. What are things? Word. God's word. Teaching them to observe everything in my word whatsoever I've commanded you. Everything I've commanded you. This is where you pick up Acts 1, where then they go into the upper room, and Peter says, hey, guess why we're doing this, everyone? We can't leave here because we have to wait for the promised Holy Spirit that Jesus has told us about when he was revealed himself to us for 40 days. You understand the timeline? Okay. This is just a little recap real quick before we go into this. So Satan knows it's our job, and he knows the command as disciples or followers or imitators of Christ to go make disciples. Do you know that Satan knows the scripture? He knows it's our job. If I want to be called a disciple of Christ, then I have to go make disciples. By definition, a disciple makes disciples. Even to use the word Christian now is so ambiguous, you don't even know what that means. It could be someone's name. I mean, who knows? Are you a Christian? Yeah. When's the last time you went to church? I've never been, but I just feel like I affiliate with that the closest. It's not, it has anything to do with it. When someone says, I'm a follower of Christ, ding, 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 ding. Well, I'm an imitator of Christ. Wow. I don't want to get caught up in verbiage here, everyone, but just because someone says they're a Christian, you'll know them by the fruit, the word says. So you can't get caught up in that. And I'm not trying to get us to be judgmental people. Go, oh, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. No, recognize where they're at so you can come along and instruct and help people. Why? The Bible says by now you ought to be teachers. Not in a Sunday school classroom, teaching by the way you live. So Satan knows, and so should we, that as a disciple or follower imitator of Christ, we prove to him our love by keeping his commands. I can't tell you how many people over the last 15 years have argued this with me. Well, that has nothing to do with love. Okay, John 14, 15. If is a word, it's conditional. If you love me, what? Keep my commands. This is not the only place he says this. This is Jesus. If you love me, keep my commands. Then I will pray to the Father. He's going to give you a comforter. See how this works? There's an order to this. Oh, I'm just filled with the Holy Spirit. Then why are you living such a sinful lifestyle? Oh, the Holy Ghost just tells me what to do. The Holy Spirit can't speak contrary to the word. Oh, God gave me a fresh revelation. There's nothing new under the sun. See how easy someone could, if you don't know the word, you can get duped by someone's super spiritual, whatever junk that they keep spewing out. And then you leave them alone thinking they're okay. It's like, no, man, I need the word. I love them so much. I got to help them because they're not seeing this straight. See, Jesus ministered while here on earth to people and said that there would be a promised Holy Spirit. That's why he had to go away. Just like Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, there was people who walked with Jesus on earth, right? We know that. He was fully God, fully man. So he was walking around on the earth. He's walking. People are walking with him. But now he can only minister to so many people at a time because he's in this human body. So after he went one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-12, right? After he did that and multiplied himself, got allies, we talk about allies, back in Judges, and after he's trained a remnant, Then he says, now I'm going to go away and I'll send the Holy Spirit because I can't keep up with the multiplication of this church and the form that I'm in. I have to send the Holy Spirit. You don't have to walk with me anymore. The Holy Spirit is going to walk with you inside of you. Oh, praise God. Yes, and the Holy Spirit can see everything you do now. Well, there's pros and cons to that, Pastor. Yes, the Bible talks about, we know when we're not walking in with the Spirit, when we're living a sinful lifestyle. The Spirit's not what? Well, he's convicting me. I just don't want to be obedient to him. Right. And that's why you get punished, because God only punishes the ones he loves. Okay. John 16:13. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, he's going to guide you into truth. We need the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is just going to give me the Word. No, you have to study the Word. The Holy Spirit recalls those things into your remembrance. He will not speak his own message on his own authority. The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you something contrary to the Word. But he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. He will give you the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things. What are things? Word that are to come. Wait. The Holy Spirit is going to declare things that are going to happen in the future? How can he do that? Because he's sharing the Word with you. The Word is the revelation of things to come. I study this, so that's why we look at Daniel, that's why we look at Revelation, this is why I do current events, regardless of what we're studying, because this is why the time of our lives, is in all of history, this is why we're here. It's not to be naive to what's going on, it's to embrace what's going on, to sound the alarm. Okay, all right, I have one person in agreement. Thank you for the one. Okay, all right, the rest of you just don't want to be here at this time, it's too difficult. All right, it's all fine, it's going to be fine. For time's sake, we're not going to go over, yes, we are. Okay. Page 3 in your notes. You're going to receive power, the ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you're going to be my witness. What are you going to witness to? Who Jesus is, and you're going to go make disciples. What the whole point of this is the enemy, Satan, knows our calling, and it is to be his witness. It is to have the Holy Spirit upon us. How do I know when the Holy Spirit's not in me or on me, or I'm being I'm being obedient to him? Here's a big difference. Old Testament, he came on people. New Testament, he was in people. That's according to Acts. Now the Spirit convicts us of what we know to be true and know to be right. And what is right is to go be a witness. Can't be a witness if you're not living for Christ. Can't. It's impossible. It's. Oh, no, I'm just living my life. Are you living it for Christ? Well, what does that mean? Read the Bible. Just tell me. I'm telling you, read the Bible. Could sum it up in a couple words? Read the Bible. Study to show thyself approved. So the Holy Spirit quickens us, it empowers us. I'm going somewhere with this. I've got to lay the foundation for what Elijah was going through. Holy Spirit quickens us, empowers us. Remember, the Holy Spirit came upon Elijah. If we let him, the Holy Spirit quickens us and empowers us just not to recite the word, but to live it. Well, Pastor, I can just rattle off scriptures all the time. But do you live the word? No one wants to hear what you're saying if you don't live it. The Bible says you're a clanging bell. You know, it's interesting. We read that all the time at weddings. You know the passage I'm talking about? If I don't have love, I'm just like a clang. It's really not a marriage passage, but okay. I mean, all right. So, great verse. But that's what he's talking about right here. I'm saying I spew all this scripture out, but the Bible says in word and deed. No one likes that. I just like to say the word, Pastor. Give me the word. No, he wants you in word and deed. Doesn't matter what you say if you don't line up for it, right? If I told somebody, Brian, if I told you, hey, you need a ride tomorrow? Yes, I do. Can you take me to the airport? Don't worry about it. Whew. I'll be there, brother. 7 o'clock. 10 o'clock rolls around, I'm not there. My deed didn't line up with my word. So does it really matter what my word says? No. The word didn't line up with the deed. Right? So the word says that God is not a man that he should lie. When I say I'm going to do something, I do it. The only reason why it doesn't happen What God's word says is going to happen is when we don't do our part. Well, Pastor, I've been praying for healing for 20 years. That's on God's timing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we do our part, God says, I will do the rest. When you do the word part, Grant, and line up with the deed, I will do my part. He didn't give us no timetable.
Well, Pastor, I've been a Christian all my life, and I just told God when I want it, and I get it.
Wow. I don't see that anywhere in here. It's just false, man. It's false stuff. The fruit of the Spirit, this is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on us. We have fruit of the Spirit, and we stop repeating the sin from the old nature. That's a sign of the Holy Spirit is in me. He didn't say you're sinless. He says you stop repeating the same old sin. You recognize, oh my goodness, that's sin. Well, what's wrong with that? Because in Galatians 5 and Revelations, if you keep repeating the same sin over and over again, Paul said it's like you never, this is Paul now in the epistles, and then John in Revelation says it's like you never gave your heart to him. Because why? Because John the Baptist says, turn from your old nature. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 4, turn from your old nature. Well, Pastor, I'm still saved because I'm not talking about if you ever sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you. I'm telling you, your heart will go callous if you keep repeating the same sin over and over again. And it will have victory over you, and you'll be so defeated because the enemy, he's got you under his feet. Yes. Yes. I was going to go somewhere, but I won't. All right. Wow. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and it was with God, John 1:1. So Jesus is the Word. John 1:14, the Word became flesh, literal flesh, and dwelt among us to show us that we could live like that. When people say Jesus never said that or Jesus didn't do this, Jesus is the Word. If it's in here, but Pastor, the four Gospels are the only thing that Jesus said. No, Jesus is the Word. Okay, only three people agree with me. Okay, all right. In the beginning was the Word. What's the Word? This. And the Word was God, is God, and was with God. Who is with God? Jesus. Why do I know that? Verse 14, he became flesh and dwelt among us. Then Jesus said, I have to go away, but when I'm going to send you the Comforter, and he's never going to speak anything contrary to this. So when someone tells you, oh, well, why would you do that? Oh, God told me. Holy Spirit just whispered in my ear, but it's contrary to God's word. Oh. We just read this in John. He said, I'll never speak. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he'll never speak anything contrary to the word. He'll never do that. Oh, Pastor, I know you have to speak on the level of the people, but for me, God got fresh revelation. No, you don't. The enemy's got a hold of your brain. I mean, it's just like, I'm not going to tell you about, we got a couple minutes before I have to get in this. Okay. I got into a little thing. It wasn't here. And if it was, I wouldn't tell you. I'll still make up the timetable. Okay, but it did happen. Okay, it was in Florida. Someone kept telling me at the church that God was... It was a she. I'm not picking on ladies right now. It was just a she. It was a he, I tell you. She was going around. She was telling everybody everything about them. Oh, God's going to do this for you. God's going to do this. And everyone was like, oh, my goodness, this is better than a fortune cookie. I just go up there and I after a couple weeks, I kind of got wind to it. You know, like I would walk over there and she would just kind of take off, kind of smile, and then just kind of go. I go, man, what is going on? And a couple people come and they said, oh, Pastor, we got to talk to you about something. I go, what's up? And they said, you know, so-and-so, they prophesied over us and it didn't turn out the way they said. I said, oh. Okay, yeah, and you know, we were just hurt by it. I said, okay. Yeah, but you know, she's been right a couple times. You know, I said, oh boy, okay. All right, when you say a couple times, like 2 for 10? I mean, what's going on? I mean, like, what's the percentage? I mean, they're defending, right? Here's what happens, everyone. When you listen to that, embarrassment comes over you because you listened to something that was contrary to God's word. I'm just telling you right now. Embarrassment comes over because you were duped. You go tell someone, and now you're embarrassed because you listened to that. And so I understood what was going on. I was gentle. Oh, it really was. I said, no, listen, okay. Well, what they said, was it contrary to God's word? And they go, well, it was kind of in the gray. There is nothing gray in here. Let your yeses be yes, no is no. God doesn't say maybe. Hey, God, is this sin or not? I don't know. I don't know. God never says, I don't know. Can you see? Seriously. If he's listing things in the Bible and says, listen, if you commit these sins, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That would be so unjust when he's a just God to say, randomly, I'm going to arbitrarily judge you and I'm not going to tell you if it's right or wrong, but at the end, you'll find out. He tells you if it's right or wrong. And someone comes up to you and tells you something contrary to God's word, and you listen to it because you're in a weak moment. Fear is at the root. I'm sorry, a lot of things are fear. I understand it. Financial fear, relational fear, peace. I mean, everyone wants peace. Everyone wants provision, all that stuff. So I had to approach this person. And after that, like 4 or 5 other people or couples actually came up to me and said, this is happening. I go, man, I wish you had told me sooner, but you know what? This has to, biblically, one-on-one. I don't have to beat the podium and call someone out. You go to them one-on-one. That's a biblical thing to do. That's a biblical thing. She goes, well, who said that? I said, we'll go to the next step biblically, and we'll do a two-on-one. I said, but in this case, there's 7 couples. I said, do you want that meeting? No. I said, okay, why are you saying this? Well, God tells me things, and I didn't think you would be in agreement with it, so I had to go to them privately. And I said, why do you not think I would be in agreement with it? This is when the squirm began. She goes, well, you always quote the Bible. I'm not kidding you. And I looked at her, and I go, that's not a pastoral thing. That's a Christian thing to do. And it just, I'm telling you guys, there's a spirit of Jezebel. This is what happens. Okay. Romans 8. I put in 20 verses in there. I'm not going to read them all to you. I just want you to skip ahead. It's talking about what people like, you know, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Everyone likes that first part of verse 1, don't they? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then they stop there. Who no longer walk after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Okay? Right? Everyone? Right? I can't. Hey, I feel no conviction whatsoever. Well, yeah, because you're living in the flesh. You have a fleshly mindset where it doesn't matter what you do, you're living in sin, so you're not convicted of anything. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. So it goes on there. So, man, people get really funny with this chapter. I'm telling you. Okay, skip ahead to verse 11. There's some bold and underlined stuff there on page 14 in your notes. If the Spirit of Him, capital H, Spirit of God, who raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. What is the second word of that verse? If. See the condition again, everyone? If you love me, you keep my commandments. If the Spirit of Him, if it dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ from the dead will also restore to you, to life, your mortal, short-lived, perishable body through his Spirit who dwells in you. There's a condition. If the same Spirit, I have to empty out me for the same spirit to be inside of me. Now, in the Webster's Dictionary, the next page, it says quicken. Everyone from the King James, everyone probably knows that as quicken your mortal body. If you grew up in the church, you sang the song, he's going to quicken your mortal body if that spirit dwells in you. You guys remember that? For time's sake, I'm not going to walk over the piano and play that, but I probably 90% wouldn't know that. But quicken, quicken to make alive, to vivify, to revive, to resuscitate as from death or an inanimate state. If the spirit dwells in you, it's going to revive you out of a old death way of living. Wow. If the spirit lives in you, if you keep committing these old sins, condemnation, Romans 8, 1, blah, 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 you still live in that old nature. He can't revive someone in the old nature. Okay. Guys, you've got to wrap your heads around this, right? And look at this verse. Pastor, are you writing these verses yourself? Nope, it's this Bible. Okay, verse 6. Now, Satan knows you have this power available. For time's sake, you can read that whole chapter. But Satan knows you and I have this power available to us. And he knows the command that you and I have to go make disciples. He knows as a Christian it means something. It means I need the promised Holy Spirit in me to go be that witness, to come up against all the things that are going on in the world, to keep my head straight, to discern good from evil, Hebrews 5, 12, and 13. So he knows that. He knows because he's trying to stop the gospel seed and message from being shared, not just by your mouth, but by your actions. By your actions. By your actions. Our actions can also be described as, just so you know, how you live at work. Well, does Jesus go there with me too? Yes, he actually goes to work with you. Pray for me. I work with all these pastors. They're terrible. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. There's names at the end of your packet. Okay, all right. So our actions can also be described as how you live at home. Well, Pastor, that's my castle, and I can do anything there. Not if you're in Christ Jesus. You can't do what you ever want to and still have the Spirit inside of you. With friends, how you are with your friends, or when no one else is around. Because the Spirit is supposed to be dwelling in you, even when no one else is around. This is the benefit of having the Spirit with you. People go, no, that's a negative. No, it's a positive. He's going to say, Grant, don't do that. Why? Why? I want to. No one's around. Don't do that because it's going to lead somewhere that you don't want to wind up tomorrow. You want the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When you don't get it, that's when you're in trouble. 1 John 3:18, so little children, let us not love merely in theory. Theory. How do we love? If you love me, you'll what? If you love me, you'll keep my commands. Let us not love in theory or in speech. Let us not just say I follow God merely in speech, but in deed and in truth. Don't just say, God, yeah, I'm all for you. No, live it. James 1:22, be doers of the word. Obey the message. Not merely listeners to it, betraying yourself. Sounds like the word's important, doesn't it? Command of the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. And the Bible also says that God is love. God is love. Love is the word. Oh, Colossians 3:17, Paul's writing who, everyone? A church. Whatever you do, church, no matter what it is in word or deed, at home, when no one's around, at work, whatever it is, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, my son was now 24 and daughter's 21. We were gone, Kelly and I were on vacation. We came back, and they're in college, and we came back. And walked in the door, and they're all, you know, it was, oh, good to see you. We put our stuff away, and we plop down. We sit down. I was tired. They turned the TV down, and, you know, they asked us about the trip. And then Paige goes, you got any questions for us? I said, yes. While we were gone, did everything you do in word or deed, did you do it all in the name of the Lord? And she looked at me. She goes, is that a guilt trip? I said, yes, it is. Not me. I said, that's the word. I just quoted the word. I didn't have to convict. I quoted the word. everything you do in the name of the Lord. Did you do it in the name of the Lord? Isn't that interesting? I don't convict. It's the word that convicts. I might be saying it, but Jesus said, I only speak that what the Father speaks. Jesus didn't convict. It was the Father who inside of him was doing the work. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Paul also said to a church, whatever may be your task, work at it heartily as unto the Lord and not for men. I hate my boss. I can't stand the people I work with. I can't stand it. You're not. Who cares? You're doing it under the name of the Lord. Oh, but is he with me? Yes, he's at work with you. God has requirements to be in the kingdom, everyone. He has requirements. We don't dictate what the requirements are. We don't get to vote on them. That's what liberal Christians do. Liberal Christians vote. They have meetings. They have denominational meetings, and every 2 years they sit and they vote on what they want to rip out of God's word. We are not dictating what we get to do to stay in the kingdom. God dictates what his kingdom and what the laws and the commands are. We don't get to gather to ourselves teachers who can say we can change God's word. You're not supposed to do that. Paul warned against that. He says, don't gather yourself up to teachers who vote away God's word. Now, while we're doing God's work and we're called to be sojourners, we're called to do temporary assignments, there will be Jezebels in our way. We've been studying the characteristics, Old and New Testament. It shuts people down from doing God's work. It's harmful. We get duped. It might be pleasing. It might be tantalized. It can be lustful. It could be desire. We could be zealous for something that's going to take away from the path that God said, you should be staying on this. Watch out for this. But sin is always fun for a season. Why you do it is because it's fun. If sin wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. You wouldn't eat pizza in Mountain Dew if it didn't taste so good. Well, Pastor, you just have to starve yourself from it. No, I've gone without, and I still enjoy it. Right? Sin is good for, I'm not saying pizza is a sin, everyone. Trust me. I'm the one that has the pizzeria in heaven. I already called it. All right. Pie, I'm calling it pie in the sky. I'm sorry. All right. Okay. All right. sorry. Okay. I made myself laugh. Okay, the imitators of Christ. But here's, before we move on, we need to pray for men, everyone. We need to pray for Christian men. The enemy wants to crush them. Why? They give the seed. He cares about women too. I'm telling you, you need to pray for men. The enemy wants men to remain in sin. He wants them to stick with their own sinful habits. He wants them to be caught up in the traps that Satan has laid out, Old and New Testament. It's not an excuse for a man. I'm a man. But it's a realization of what the enemy is trying to do. You don't go around bashing men for what they're doing. Go around and encourage. I'm not saying you can't rebuke and reproof. It talks about that in Timothy. But I'm telling you, help do the safeguards for them. Husbands, wives, men in the church, if you have fellow men, have accountability to one another. And not everyone's in sexual sin. I'm talking about fading from their first love, which is the word. You don't see them. They're getting trapped by things at work and the stresses of life and kids and finances and money and relationships. That all pulls them away. It's not just alcohol and sexual sin, everyone. Everyone says, well, I don't struggle with those two. I must be okay. No, it's not just those two. That's like saying there's one sin you can't commit. No, there's multiple things. The enemy comes back when it's more convenient, and he goes after us. But for all of us, we've had great victorious times in our life. We talked about that last 2 weeks, both spiritually and naturally. Life is good when children, your relationships, your money, your friends, everything's going good. God provides all your needs. And then sometimes he gives abundance in those areas. That's this blessing. But the enemy comes in when you get focused on something that God says, this is not the plan I have for you. You become tempted in an area, and you because of what? For all of us, we have a different weakness. And we know what those are. If you really, when you feel like job interviews and it says, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And for anyone to sit there and go, I don't think I have any weaknesses, you're fooling yourself. We all know that there's weaknesses that we have. We got to safeguard against that. Fear is often the fill in the blank space, and it's the root of it. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is energy draining. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You can't. Fear. Fear of, but what about this? What about this? It doesn't work. So what we've been talking about is this victorious time in Elijah's walk with God. Whatever he did, man, the last couple of chapters, remember? Man, he was fed by ravens. You guys remember that? First he comes up to King Ahab as King Ahab now, remember, picture of the church. He says, Ahab, stop what you're doing. Stop it. He said, nope, it's fine. There's going to be a drought. Elijah takes off. Elijah is fed from the king's table by ravens. The ravens are swooping at the king's, taking his food, bringing it back to him. Then he goes to the next stop, and there's a Jewish woman who said, I'm going to have this last meal, and me and my son are going to die then. We're just going to die. But the God, the prophet, the mouthpiece of God says, give me of your first fruits of that meal. This whole story is so biblical. I mean, every little nuance of it. And she goes, I don't know. Then how am I going to live? He goes, don't worry about it. The Bible says that she was fed up until the time the drought ended. And until then, she had abundance. Then her son got sick, was going to die. And the man of God came back, healed him as well through the power of God. So now, Elijah comes back. You guys remember last week, he calls down fire. He sets up two altars. He throws water all over his. He's got stones, wood, trenches filled with water. He's making fun of the carnal God. Is it with the word? Is it line up with the word? Are you fornicating with God's word? Are you doing something that's contrary to this? I'm telling you, when you line up with the word, God's power comes down. Well, I saw this happen and this happen and this happen because the enemy likes to mimic it and he dupes you. We learned that in Revelation 13. So we ended last week with 850 of the false prophets getting killed. The people killed them. The people realized they were so mad that these other people were teaching them falsely, they killed them. Wow. Now that's a rebellious. That's a great rebellion right there because God told them to do it. Then remember, he raced back. He told Ahab, you better hurry up and go for celebration before it starts downpouring. Drought's over. He ran 16 miles on foot and beat Ahab back. He's pretty excited. He's pretty stoked. Why? Because God just did something powerful through him. You guys, this is when we get just so excited when God does a miraculous thing, don't we? And I'm not talking about, oh, he healed the cripple. Every single day in our life, there's miraculous things that take place. It is miraculous, and we don't identify it. We just dismiss it as, well, that was just luck, or, oh, yeah. No, it is God. Worship, thank him for it. This is what's happening. So he's a victorious time. He races back. He says, oh, this is awesome. Dude, you dominate. It's awesome. And then instantly, verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel what Elijah had done and executed all these prophets. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. Said, so let the gods do to me, or more also, let them take your life if by noon tomorrow. So what did the man of God who just called down fire from heaven, who just got fed by ravens, who just raised people, God used him in a mighty way. He took off running. Why? What happened? This is what happens, everyone. In your life, you will be spiritually on a natural, emotional high. You guys ever been there? Spiritually, you can be on a high. Powerful things happen. And then in the natural, your body just goes, right? There was a sickness going on and you were at the hospital for 4 weeks in a row and all of a sudden that person, that friend, that loved one, the husband, wife, that daughter, brother, they walked out of the hospital and you're like, yeah! But then all of a sudden from 4 weeks from praying, from fasting, all of a sudden your body goes, whew. You know what the enemy does? Whew. Here's an opportune time, Luke chapter 4. I'm going to come back when it's more opportune, when you're tired, when you're weak after this. This is what happened. 1 Kings 19:4 now. But he himself, this is Elijah, went away on a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. The previous day, he was making fun of the false prophets. You guys remember? He says, where did your God go? Is he relieving himself? You guys remember that? That's in the Bible. This is the next day. This is the very next day. He goes, I want to die. Have you guys ever felt like that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the next day, no, I can't. The next hour, I can do this. 10 minutes later, no, I can't. It happens. The Bible says. He said to God, it is enough, Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. He's the remnant. He even told Ahab, he told Obadiah, I'm the only one left who will stand up to this Jezebel. I'm the only one. He was the man. You guys remember? I'm the man. And now, I'm not the man anymore. It's easy for people to say he was a wimp or a whiner. But he was the one, so I highlighted these notes in these boxes. Each verse breaking this down. He just called down fire from heaven and outran a horse for 16 miles. And now he wants to die because she's after him? No matter how long you've walked with God, you're still subject to attack, everyone. Don't think I'm so holy, the enemy. No, the enemy wants you because of that. If he can make you fall, a lot of other people can fall with it. That's why pastors are under attack. Pray for your pastors. That's why the enemy uses. He uses sexual sin. He uses finances. He uses power, whatever. If he can get a pastor to fall, I'm telling you right now. And if there's female pastors, the same thing. If they can get a female pastor to fall, I'm telling you right now, the enemy wants pastors to fall.
Oh, no, we're just going to pray for a hedge of protection, and, you know, I pray once a week.
No! How much more so should we be on our knees as spiritual leaders to lead by example just in how to pray? Elijah expected God to fully purge idolatry from the land. He thought it was it. He thought the fight was over. You guys, it's never over. This is why you need to take a rest in order to regroup and go fight again. He thought that Jezebel would flee after she heard what happened to all the false prophets. She thought, see, the enemy doesn't sit there and go, oh, you got me, I'm done with you. No, I'm going to come back. We learned that in Luke 4. The enemy said to Jesus, I'm going to come back and tempt you at a more convenient time. Jesus, I'm going to come back and get you. Oh, but I got the spirit in me. Jesus didn't. No! Okay, all right. Oh, time's sake. Okay, here we go. Quick as 12 minutes, church. All right, 19:5. Now Elijah is laying. He slept under the broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. He looked. There by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Wait, what? He's sitting in a tree. He's not baking it. He took off fleeing for his life. He didn't go grocery shop. He's not pushing a cart out in the wilderness. He's not. He's by himself. He wakes up and he goes, there's a cake. See, a lot of people think God would give you to eat a scorpion or bugs. This is not Bear Grylls. You know, he's not living. If you guys know what that is, Bear Grylls? Okay, bad reference. Okay, so he's a survivalist that eats anything, stuff that you really probably shouldn't eat. So Elijah wakes up and there's a cake. Could be a donut. I don't know. It's a cake, a little individual cake. His name was on it. No, it was just like, here it is. God meets us at our weakness. He didn't kick Elijah. Without condemnation, without frustration, without anger, without disgust, just pure compassion. Man, Elijah, you've been through a lot. God's understanding, everyone. He is understanding to us. He ministers encouragement to people, not just rebukes. You and I, all of us, need to learn that in this room too. We're not called just to rebuke and reprove. We're also called to encourage and lift up, right? And help one another and say, man, I know good stuff right now, but man, you're doing awesome. I can see how you're rebounding from this. And yeah, but I sinned yesterday. I shouldn't have. Hey, he's just and he's faithful to forgive him. Confess to the lips. Just keep moving on. So here is verse 7. The angel of the Lord came back a second time. Second time. Now he touched him and he said, arise and eat because the journey is great for you. There's no easy bake oven sitting there or anything. There's food. You guys can't. Remember, there's miracles every single day. There's miracles every single day. My kids are 24 and 21. They just, like I said, they just got done with college. They open up the fridge and there's just food there every day. When they move out of the house, there's going to be a realization that, wait, does that same angel come to our apartment when we move out? No, it doesn't. It actually doesn't. But right now, there's an angel, and they open the fridge, and there's food. It's called Kelly and Grant. Okay, so they just don't know. Verse 8. So he arose, ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. God is our substance. He provides all our needs. Now he's moving for how long? 40 days. Boy, it seems like that's kind of popular in the Bible, isn't it? Jesus fasted and moved for 40 days. Moses and now you got Elijah doing this. So Elijah fasts and travels 40 days and nights, and the Spirit of the Lord was on him, even if he didn't feel like it. You ever feel like God's not kind of left you hanging? But God, I've been righteous. I've been doing things right, and I speak your word. I've been praying, and I don't see it happening. Why do I feel this way, right? Why do I feel this way? I don't feel victorious. John 6:63 says, our feelings, our natural feelings profit us nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. When we become so introspective and reflective, and this is why you need an ally. This is why you need someone in your life who's going to say, hey, stop thinking like that. See, Elijah was alone. Angels were ministering to him. He wasn't alone, everyone. He had people alongside him. Verse 9, then he went into a cave, traveled for 40 nights, had some cake, traveled for 40 nights, spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, God, I've been very zealous for you and for the children of Israel, but the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. Now, he's not talking about the 850. He's talking about Jezebel and all her people slaying the prophets of God. Okay? That's what he's talking about right here. So his heart was mourning for God's people. Do you understand? That's where we need to get to the place where we actually cry out when God's people are in sin. It's not just about accusing them and judging them. It's about crying out for their sin. Verse 11, then he said, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks and the pieces of the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind and an earthquake, the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then an earthquake and a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice came into his ear. So many times we miss the Lord because we're looking for this, and this is what we're going to talk about also, these manifestations that really aren't from the Lord. We look for things when God's in a still small voice and he's baking it. He's providing provision, a cake, and God, thank you for my car, thank you. I'm not trying to be simplistic here, but I'm saying we keep looking for the big splash, but God's a consistent God. He doesn't have to pull out the big splash unless he needs to. Because God's people need to be consistent and faithful. So it was Elijah in verse 13, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, it's his cape, it's his overcoat, and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and suddenly a voice came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Wow. That's all, guys, now think about the Holy Spirit. Remember how he speaks to us. Hey, what's going on? What's going on? Key points in this verse 13 is God asked him now a second time. He didn't kick him after one time. Remember the angel speaking to him first, feeding him? He goes, hey, take it easy. Then God speaking to him a second time. The Lord is saying, okay, now what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Look at your situation. In this place, you're in bondage, fear, depression, and confusion. We all get that way, everyone. I know we do. I do. Feel confused? Everyone feel confused? Like, what am I doing, right? I'm not talking about what should I wear today. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, God, why am I here? Why did you call me here? Or I'm depressed. I have no friends. I have no godly friends. Or I'm fearful what's going on. Verse 14. And then he said, God, this is how he answered God. I've been very zealous. So he's telling him how he feels. God, this is how I've been. I've been very zealous for you. But because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, now he's telling them, I'm really torn because, God, the Christians, the imitators of Christ, they've forsaken the covenant, the commandments of God. If you love me, keep my commands. He's talking about John right here. John was written right later on in the New Testament, about 1,400 years later. They've torn down your altars, that which where they were supposed to worship. They killed your prophets. The Obadiah hid 100 and there's another 7,000, but all the other ones were wiped out by Jezebel. And he says, I am alone. And they seek to take my life. The enemy's out to get me, God. Then the Lord said to him, I love this. Go return on your way. Well, that was it? There was no Samson strength? There was no big feast? God said, you know that God knows how much you and I could take? He actually does know. He tells Elijah, all right, you're good now. This is so cool. God, still small, remember, it's a still small voice. He's whispering to him there. You're not yelling at him. Still small voice. Elijah, go. God sent him to minister back in not Elijah's power, but his power. The Bible says on Elijah and Elisha that the Spirit of the Lord came on them. So now he's ministering in God's power. The Lord wanted him to minister out of God's need for the people. He didn't say, go now take a break, Elijah, for a while. He said, no, go return back to my plan that I have for you. He encourages him and gives new instructions. And he even tells him he's got a trainee on the way, everyone, and Elisha's coming. See, that's his ally. And this is going about God's word instructs us to go make disciples, right? So this trainee, Elisha, is now going to be a disciple of Elijah. This disciple is also called an ally. For those who haven't been with us, these are things we've all been studying. It's all coming together right now. This ally is also called a remnant. This is how God intended for us to multiply and stay in line with his perfect plan, and he intends for this as how his kingdom grows. He gives us, puts people on our way. We need to be discipled. We can disciple others. Those are your allies in life, and those will also be the remnants when they are in the Word and are studying the Word who will rise up with you, men and women all across the aisles in different churches who really believe the same thing. That's what the remnant is. It's not everyone from all churches. It's people, certain people from churches who actually believe all of this. That is called the remnant. This isn't some crazy thing I'm saying. This is all Bible verses we've been studying. That's what the remnant is. What remains when all others have left? You guys get this tonight? God's for us. He's not against us. I know sometimes it feels like you're beat up and you're tired, and if you're in ministry, if you're watching this online right now, it doesn't matter where you're at right now. God loves you just like Elijah. He's no respecter of persons. What he did for Elijah, he'll feed you, he'll meet your needs, but you have to go back and keep being about your Father's business. Amen? All right, let's stand. We'll close in prayer. Y'all get this tonight? Very exciting.